Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Okay. This is Willard Welch, and today is June 19th, 2012. And I'm having an interview with George Pearl. How you doing this morning, George?
Doing great.
Doing great. Can you give me your full name, please?
George Franklin Pearl.
And did you have any nicknames out the farm, George?
No.
No? That's okay. I didn't either. How did you come to the farm?
In 1950, I was running the streets, eating out of garbage cans, and a welfare worker took pity on me and went, the class I was in took a field trip to Drum. When it was over, she said, "Would you like to live there?" I said, "I'd love it." 3 days later, after my 12th birthday, March 5th, I wound up at Drum.
Oh.
And spent 6.5 years there.
Right. What years?
1950 to 1956.
Oh, okay. All right. What high school did you attend while you were there?
East High School.
Okay. Did you get a chance to participate in the school activities or sports?
Yes, I was on the East track team.
Oh, okay.
Ran the quarter mile and cross country.
Oh, good. Good. And during that time, did you remember any of those fads of the that young generation?
Oh, yeah, the lime green and orange socks, the pink shirts with the charcoal tie, cutting the belt loops off of your pants so that you look like the Pachucos out of Chicago. You wore them as low as you could.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'd forgotten about the pink shirts. Yeah, that was a big shocking thing for that era. Yeah. What memories do you have of the 4-H and the FFA?
Some very fond memories. The contest that we were in, I was president of the 4-H club in 1956, and I was president of the FFA chapter in 1956. Got a lot of blue ribbons and a couple of grand champion ribbons for my fat barrel and my calf. A lot of blue ribbons, a lot of red ribbons, a lot of white ribbons. For the red ribbons, most of them for the woodwork. And got a blue ribbon for electrical display. Public speaking, parliamentary procedure, radio skits, meat judging, all of that good stuff.
Oh, sure.
We're all into
that together as teams.
Yep.
And with the 4-H and the FFA, did you have any projects that you actually completed or some of the animals that you had?
Oh, yeah. When I turned 17, I think it was, had the sheep, and one of my ewes had triplets. And Mr. Berkmeyer got a hold of the Independence Examiner, and she dropped them on my 17th birthday, so he had them come out, take a picture, and a little interview with that.
Oh, cool.
And got blue ribbon at the county fair, and with my fat barrel, wound up grand champion.
Hmm.
Got a trophy. Second place, Bill Wall, got $75. I wanted to trade the trophy for the $75. He wouldn't do it.
Once Bill got the money, it was over.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about money, how much was your allowance?
Well, when I got there, it was a quarter a month. When I left, I want to say it was $1 a month.
Right.
And that was, you know, big raises from a quarter to a dollar.
Didn't go any further, but
no. I mean, when you're trying to date on a dollar and buy corsages for dances and go to movies and buy a Coke or something.
Right.
Don't go very far.
Even if a Coke was only a nickel.
Well, that's what it was.
On the farm, there's always chores to do. What was your favorite chore?
I guess milking would be the favorite.
Right.
And I know what's coming next.
And so then the least one, least favorite?
Shoveling manure behind the beef cattle.
I tell you, you wouldn't be surprised at how highly that rates with most of the guys. Yeah. And, you know, everybody has entertainment. What kind of entertainment did we have out there when you were there?
Oh, good grief.
You know, at the farm, the church, dates.
Well, dating was it. I mean, going to movies, going to Teen Town. They had some dances out at the farm, had some hay rides.
Right.
We went on, and if you had a date, you was lucky. Otherwise, a girl from Hilltop would come out. You could pick out a date for a dance or the hay ride.
Right, yeah.
But dancing, I guess, at Teen Town was the best entertainment.
Right, yeah. I always thought too part of that entertainment was the fact so many guys were out there. You didn't really search for entertainment because you're too busy playing sports and games.
You was always entertained by somebody,
yeah.
Either running from them or chasing them.
That's true, too. I'd forgotten about that. Did you develop any job skills or hobbies out there for them?
Well, probably the one that I really enjoy is the woodworking.
Right.
I've gotten into since I retired from driving, and I spend a lot of time put together a little shop and really enjoy it. And I'm always making something.
Great. And you said, so you what profession were you in?
Well, when I got out, I went into the service, came out of the service, became a land surveyor. Was a land surveyor for about 10 years, tried my own home improvement business, and wound up a truck driver for about 25 years.
Hmm.
And retired from driving in 1992.
Okay.
So,
now, didn't you get an award for your safe driving?
I had 2 million miles safe driving.
Oh, you didn't receive an award for that?
No, they did. Well, they gave me a little wooden plaque.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Oh, no cash?
No cash. No, okay. It was just a sense of accomplishment. I had never seen the inside of a truck when I started driving.
Oh, wow.
And a friend of mine said, "Want to go to California?" I said, "No, I can't afford that." He said, "You get paid." And I said, "Let's go." So I crawled in and started with a 318 engine, Detroit, with a 13-speed transmission in it. Had no idea how to do it. But when I came back from California, I knew how to shift gears.
Right.
Took a while, but became a pretty decent driver. Not the best out there, but wasn't too shabby.
Yeah, you couldn't do that today.
No.
Talking to some of the guys, and they think Drum could have better prepared them for life after graduation. What's your opinion on that?
Yes. I mean, our interaction with the public was one of the big things that I think could better be prepared. Parenting. I don't think any of us had any parenting skills. And if you had problems, you didn't have anybody to talk to, except maybe the preacher, if you could run him down. House parents weren't interested.
No.
So you had to solve them yourself.
Right.
And a lot of us, I mean, I didn't have a role model for a father. I had to learn as I went along. Same with a grandfather. My grandfather died when I was 2. And mm-hmm. I'm still learning how to be a grandfather. So it was somewhere I think they could have taught us more social skills, mm-hmm. parenting skills, behavioral skills. I mean,
right.
You either did it their way or your world caved in on you.
Right, yeah.
And there's more to it than that.
True, true. And society's changed drastically since then. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, I don't recall, are you a veteran?
Yes.
And what branch?
Navy. Spent 4 years, came out petty officer, third class. I was a radarman.
Oh, okay. Did you get to see much of the world?
Oh, yes. All through South America, the Caribbean. Did a Mediterranean cruise, did a Northern Europe cruise. And by that, went into Antwerp, Belgium. Still World War II sunken ships laying out, sticking out of the water.
Oh, wow. Go in. Yeah.
And down in South America, the Rough Spray, you could see it off of Uruguay when the Germans sunk their own ship rather than give it up.
Yeah.
So it saw a lot of the world. I was on a showboat, brand new destroyer.
Oh, okay.
So we had to show the world that look how this thing looks and how fast it can go and look at the firepower.
Right.
So we were a showboat.
The big USA.
Yes.
Right. Now, do you believe that drum really influenced your life, may help make you a success?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I learned out there, and this came from Mr. Birkemeyer, was you can do anything in the world if you set your mind to it. But once you start it, you finish it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is today. I mean, I've been involved in some things, and my wife would say, "You're not done. You're not quitting." When I wanted to, she said, "I know you." And she was right. And that is one thing that has stuck with me. And you try and do it right the first time, so you don't have to go back.
Right, yeah.
So, and I guess another thing was honesty, because if they caught you lying, your world came down on top of you.
Right, yeah. And speaking of Mr. Birkemeyer, do you think that we had some good role models out there in terms of behavior and work ethics?
Yes.
Those kind of things?
Very much so. I think Mr. Birkemeyer and Mr. Taggart, he isn't mentioned much. He was the farmhand.
Right.
Prince of a man, just like
Mr. definitely. Birkemeyer. Definitely. Yeah.
He would talk to you, take time to explain things to you, and I never saw the man upset. Never one time did I see him upset. I saw Mr. Birkemeyer and Mr. Nelson upset at me and at others.
Right, yeah. No, you're right. Mr. Taggart isn't mentioned enough.
No, he isn't. And he was there, good grief, I don't know how many years. I think he came there in 51 and was there, watched his kids grow up. When his house caught on fire, we put it out before the fire department got there.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And they were standing around, "Well, we don't need to be here." We took care of the problem.
What are some of the accomplishments in your life that you're proud of?
Oh, good grief.
You know, I know you mentioned your family. And
my military service, I'm proud of that. I think everybody ought to serve this country because it's the greatest country in the world. I saw a lot of Europe, South America, and no place I'd rather live than right here. My driving record, I guess. Giving is something back to drum, and that's playing Santa Claus out there for the kids.
Right.
I know I don't remember Christmas until I went to drum. And that's the first time I remember seeing a tree, ever getting a gift or anything else, was out at drum. And knowing what I didn't have and being Santa and playing it and watching the eyes of those kids when come through the door, biggest saucers and grinning ear to ear, that in and of itself is a lot of satisfaction right there, just seeing the smile on those little guys' faces.
Oh, yeah. But
they came from the streets with nothing, and it's not much, but to them, it's something monstrous.
Oh, yeah. I think it's particularly true if you went to the Little Boys building, because they were fresh from the city, and they could still remember what they came from.
Yeah. Well, out there, it's in the dining hall, and I make an entrance in there, and I make them all sit on my lap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the smallest up to the biggest, some of them over 200 pounds. "Well, I'm going to hurt you. Park it right here, boy." And that's the only way they get to talk to me or get a gift.
True.
And they got to sit on my lap. And I said, "You never get too big for Santa."
There you go.
So, and I've had the board of directors on my lap. I've had them all on there.
Yeah. No exceptions. Can you remember any funny stories or humorous stories about the farm?
Now, which one do you want me to tell first?
Well, you can tell the one about you and Gene.
Oh, good grief. We were scouts, and we was reading in the scout handbook that how to cook a chicken in a pit. So we went out and dug a hole, and we built a fire in it. You're supposed to get the coals good and hot and everything. And then we went to the chicken house and stole a chicken. And we cleaned the innards out of it. And you're supposed to pack it in mud, and then you throw it on these coals and cover it up with coals, and then you cover it up with dirt, and you leave it 2 or 3 hours, and then you go back. Well, we did all of that. You didn't pluck the feathers either, because when you took the mud off, that's supposed to skin the chicken.
Okay.
So you didn't have to do much to it. We put the chicken in the hole, and we took off. Hey, Gene, let's go get our chicken. Hey, sound like a winner. Never could find where we dug the hole. So there's a chicken buried out there somewhere in the golf course now.
Oh, in the golf course, yeah.
It's in the golf course now.
I don't know. Maybe when they were contouring the golf course, somebody found the chicken.
Well, it may have been good eating. I don't know. But stuff like that, we all tried it, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Johnny was, Ikus was in and talking about making wine.
Wine and moonshine.
Yeah, and I think everybody tried at least once.
Yeah, well, Charlie Frakes got us into making White Lightning.
Ooh.
Until Mr. Berkmeyer caught his sour mash down behind the furnace in the shop.
Uh-oh.
That took care of that.
In the shop. Wow.
Yeah, oh. He had it fermenting behind the furnace in the shop.
Good Lord. I didn't know about that one.
Oh, it's nasty, too.
I bet. What words of advice would you like to share about your life experiences, either at the farm or from life?
Never give up.
Okay.
Never give up. No matter how bad things seem, they're never as bad as they can be.
Right.
And they will get better. But as long as you stick with it, and if you have a vision or a dream, you never give up. All things are possible. If you really want them, and I tell my kids and my grandkids, everybody has a mouthful of wants. And I want this and I want that. And until you can taste it, you really don't want it. Once you can taste it, you figure out how to get it.
Right.
So you never give up.
Yeah, that's good words. Good words. What have you done that no one else would think you've done?
Ooh, boy.
Now, I know you've talked about your driving record, which is remarkable. But have you anything else that you might have done that...
Not that comes to mind right now that I want the world to know about.
Okay. I understand that, yeah. Johnny was saying the same thing, too. Okay, and what's one thing, at least one thing, that you'd like people to remember about you? You know, besides the fact that you're good looking and...
Nah, let's not go there. Well, that... I tried. I didn't always get it done, but I was never afraid to try something. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it comes down and people say, well, why did you do that? I hadn't done it. Why not try it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when I got into carving rocking horses, just out of the clear blue.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, why you want to do that? I said, I've never done it. So I started carving rocking horses.
How many have you done now?
About 7.
Oh, great. Great.
And give them all away. The first one I did, I gave to Rufus Little.
Oh, out at the farm.
And because of what he had given to Drum, I mean, it was about a $3,500 horse.
Right.
The value of it. But he had a problem getting back to Boston, as big as it was, because it had 72-inch rockers on it.
Oh.
But his little granddaughter loved the thing.
Yeah.
And she rode that rascal forever, and now he has another one, and they're heirloom quality. They can be passed down. They'll last.
That's great.
Yeah. And I've made them for my grandkids, and made one for myself, wound up giving to my daughter that she's going to give it to her middle son when he gets married and has kids.
Right.
So, I mean, it was made for me, but she decided to get married again, so I had to give her a gift, so I gave her that. She's going to get it when I'm gone anyway, so give it to her early.
True. So. Yeah. Just early, that's all.
But no, those are, I guess, trying something I've never tried and succeeding at it.
Right.
I mean, and
which kind of ties in with your work ethic.
Yes, yes. But I don't think anybody should be afraid to try something new.
No.
I mean, failure, I don't think is in my vocabulary. I mean, I really don't. And I think that came from drum.
Right.
Because it was there. You can do it if you want to. And it was stressed to us to go back earlier in the interview. Do anything you want, but once you start it, you will finish it.
Right.
And that's been the way I've conducted my life.
Okay.
So.
Well, we've finished all of our questions, kind of make a structured interview. Is there anything that you would like to contribute off the top of your head, or something that maybe you think that I've forgotten or missed that you'd like to express?
Only that drum was a lifesaver, I think, for every one of us of our era.
Right.
All of us came from the streets, broken families, abusive parents, alcoholic, drug, I don't know. My dad was an alcoholic, and he was a mean alcoholic, and I'd have probably wound up in prison if I hadn't went to drum. And I'm grateful for that had the opportunity out there and the opportunities that drum afforded me.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the accomplishments, very proud of. The ribbons won in the meat judging, livestock, whatever we got into, the radio skits, parliamentary procedure. There's a whole list, and I think we were the most feared people in the contest in the state or the nation, because nobody wanted to go against the drum farm boy, because Mr. Birkemeyer made sure we were prepared when we got there.
That's right.
We knew what we were doing. I mean, at least we thought we did. So, but those accomplishments, I think, are some that I can look back on and be very, very proud of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And I think in this day and age, I don't know how the kids look at drum now. If it took me a while, at the time, I didn't know how fortunate I was to be at drum. When I left and was in the service and got to looking back, man, that's the best thing that ever happened to me, was being at drum farm.
Okay.
And I just hope that the young people that are there now will someday look at it and say, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's amazing the differences as you mature and you look back and see.
Oh, yeah. I thought I knew everything at 18. At 21, I realized how stupid I was.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, honestly and truly, and I think every teenager goes through that.
Oh, yeah. It's a phase you have to go through. Yeah, as you grow up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, some never get through it. But but I think most of the drum guys have. So, and
yep.
Well, that concludes our conversation and our interview with George Pearl, and we've enjoyed it and hope you do too. Thank you.